Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Back in 2014, Marianne and I were doing a broadcast on WGN Radio marking the 50th anniversary of the beginning of Beatlemania, and we spoke with George Harrison's older sister, Louise, and this week Louise passed away at the age of 91. This is an interesting conversation. She was in town doing a show with a band called Liverpool Legends, and at one point you'll hear one of the guys from that band chime in, but this is that conversation from 2014.
You came with them?
No, I met them there.
Because you already lived here?
I already lived in this country, yes.
And then tell us about what happened when they got off the plane and where you went.
Well, they got off the plane and went to the Plaza Hotel. And I got off my plane a little bit later, coming in from the west, and went to the Plaza Hotel. I'm sorry, but I've got a croaky throat.
We call that Chicago throat here.
Is that what it is? Oh, okay.
Don't worry. Right. No worries.
All right. Well, anyway, initially, George and I had talked on the phone from Paris a couple of days before that, and he was going to try to come out to the Midwest to visit with me, and we were going to meet, he was going to come and visit some of the people that he'd met back in the September before, and then he found out that there was going to be too much press and too much media, so he said, well, why don't you come and meet me in New York? So there again, our first plan was that we would meet at the airport because our flights were both getting in, you know, within another hour of each other. And then he was told that every helicopter in New York had been commandeered by the press. And so we said, it seems like we may not be able to hook up very easily at the airport, so let's just go straight to the hotel and we'll meet there. So anyway, I went directly to the hotel. They'd already arrived about a half an hour before me, and the receptionist said, okay, you know, go up to the 14th the presidential suite. So I dropped my stuff off on the sixth floor where I was going to stay, took the elevator up to the 14th floor, got off and said, okay, that's the number he told me to come to. I'm going down the corridor. There's a big gang of people all in the middle of the corridor and a big table across the corridor. And Pinkerton men and all these kinds of people there. So I thought, well, I didn't know what was going on there, but I thought, well, okay, the room that I'm trying to go to is beyond all of these people. So I'm edging very gently along the side of the wall to try to get past all of these people. The next thing is a great big Pinkerton man grabs me, puts his hands in my chest, which wasn't very polite, and says, where do you think you're going? And I said, well, I'm just going along to visit my brother. And the whole crowd just burst out laughing, and they said, do you have any idea how many times that's been tried today?
No. So people were saying that, and did you have proof, and did you
Well, the only proof I had, because my name was my married name, I wasn't Harrison at that particular point in time, so I had a photograph that had been taken in the September before, when he was visiting in Benton, with myself and George was holding my daughter, my three-year-old daughter, in his arms. So I had that picture, and I showed it to them. They said, oh, yeah, that looks like one of those guys. And so they went along to the, knocked on the door of the suite, and he came running out down the corridor. And it was one of those, like the commercial they used to have, where the two people meet in the middle, and he spun me around. And then all of the jeers turned into cheers at that point, you know.
That weekend, they land in New York, and of course, they do the Ed Sullivan Show that Sunday. But your brother George was sick, wasn't he?
Yeah, he had a strep throat, and he was off in the bedroom by himself for a few minutes, and the next thing is he came and he said the hotel doctor was coming to visit him, and so Dr. Gordon arrived in the suite, examined him, and he said, oh my God, he said, this kid is really sick. He needs to go to the hospital. His temperature was 104, and his throat was practically closed, you know, his strep throat. And so Brian, of course, Brian Epstein, almost had a heart attack.
Yeah.
He said, no, 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 we can't let anybody know that, you know, there's anything wrong. And so the next thing that happened was that that there was a lot of consultation going on. Then they suddenly realized that I was his sister. And so the doctor said, well, she's probably the only woman in New York that wouldn't faint at the idea of being in the same room as the Beatles.
Yeah, and he may have gotten the reputation for being a quiet Beatle
exactly,
because of that, right? Because
exactly.
he wasn't speaking.
Yeah, exactly.
He's saving his voice.
Yeah. What, so what can you tell us about what the expectations were from well, George had been visiting already in September, so he knew what to expect. But
which
as
was
a
nothing.
Group, which was nothing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so as a group, what did they expect? How surprising was that reception that they got in New York?
In a way, it was surprising, and in a way, it wasn't, because they had been getting that kind of reception everywhere they had gone, you know, the previous 8 or 9 months. So from that perspective, when all the screaming and all of the crowds were there, that wasn't too surprising for them. But they hadn't really expected it to happen, you know, that fast in New York. I know years later, I was watching the movie, the video, of them coming down the steps of the plane with George at his house. This is like at least 20 years later. And George said to me, you know, if we'd have had any idea of what was going to happen, he said, we probably would have been scared, he said. But as it was, we were just kind of like, boop-a-doo-dee-doo-dee-doo, you know.
Did you get to spend time with the other three
a little bit.
Because you lived here for, did you know them from England?
No, no. No, the first time I met them was when I met them at the Plaza Hotel that day.
Louise, were you at the Ed Sullivan Theater?
Oh, yes.
Backstage?
Yes.
What was that like?
I say she was one of the only people who saw it in color, right? Which is kind of cool.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, that's right.
Did the guys or the boys know when they came off stage that they had done well?
I think so. Yeah, I think so.
I have to get this question in, Louise, because among hardcore Beatle maniacs, there's always been a bit of a controversy. You mentioned that your brother George visited Illinois and visited you in September of 63. Some people say he went back to England and told John, Paul, and Ringo, it's going to be great. The fans in America are just like the fans in England. It's going to be great. And other people have always said he came back and he said, we're going to have a lot of trouble. Nobody knows who we are. I'm nervous about it. Which is true?
I think the second one.
Yeah, because I've been trying to get them airplay. I'd gone around all of the radio stations within about a 200-mile radius of my home, as Mum was sending me the singles, that were, you know, as they were coming out. And so I was going around and saying, you know, this is my kid brother's band, and they're number one in England, and, you know, you should be playing them over here. But for the most part, I was getting the kind of, oh, this is no good. This stuff will never sell.
That was got a lot of great rejection letters from these stations.
Was that from me to you? Was it that one? What was the record?
Because I went with Please Please Me, She Loves You, From Me to You, and I think, no, I Want to Hold Your Hand came out later.
And I think WLS Chicago may have been the first station in the country to play a Beatles record.
No.
Which one?
It was WFRX in West Frankfort, Illinois.
Oh, really?
In June.
So a little station.
A little station in June. Yeah, they played it.
Which one did they play?
That was From Me to You.
Oh.
What did you say to try to talk them into it?
Well, I was, you know, I was telling them that it was great stuff, that there were, you know, crowds of people going crazy and people standing in line all night long to get tickets to their shows. And, you know, I was just, for the most part, the worst part of it was that back in those days, women were regarded as very much third-class citizens.
No kidding.
And most of the attitude that I was getting was, you know, why aren't you at home donning your husband's socks?
My favorite letter that she has is this letter that she was, because Del Shannon had a hit with, like, From Me to You, and she was going to the station going, like, well, my brother's band wrote that song. Why don't you play their version? And the letter was like, no thanks, ma'am. We prefer Del Shannon. Good luck with your brother's band.
Okay, so that's like September of 63.
Yeah.
And then fast forward to February of 64, and I Want to Hold Your Hand is number one.
Yeah.
Louise, why did you not remain close to George as adults?
What do you mean?
Well, how often did you see him?
Well, as often as he was over here. And then I would go over there quite a few times to visit.
And how close was the family? Who else was in the family? You have a sister?
Mom and dad. No, no, no. My mom said if that any of the others had been girls, she would have sent them back. No, I had three brothers, mom and dad. No, we were a very, very close family. And, you know, we were, mom was like the, what would you say, the cheerleader.
Yeah, because
you know, we were always having fun together.
Because much has been made
Oh, you mean all this
the relationship
stuff?
With
oh,
George
God.
And you
That's
and
a
money.
Bunch of
what,
BS.
What's the real story?
What's, the what's, real story is that there is no real story as, you know, as it has been depicted. You know, somebody told me today something about that George had his tonsils out one time and the surgeon burnt them because he was afraid that somebody would buy them. You know what? Nonsense. There's been so much nonsense about these guys. And I spent years and months of my time going around saying, hey, this is a lot of you know what.
What is something that people don't know about George Harrison? Is there anything left that people don't know?
Well, most of what they know, or half of what they know, isn't true anyway. In fact, I remember George one time saying, they know more about us than we know about ourselves.
If
they don't know it, they make it up.
Did you see Living in the Material World, the Scorsese film about George?
Yeah.
What'd you think? Accurate?
Well, it came along so far late in his life, you know. The people that were involved in it didn't really know him until he was about 38.
So. When was the last time you saw your brother?
About 2 weeks before he died.
In the hospital?
No, he wasn't in a hospital at that point.
He was home, right?
No, he was in a rented house near the hospital.
And we're told that he had his great sense of humor right up until end, is that right?
Yeah. Yeah, we joked about some of the fun things that the particular thing that we joked about was the time when Mum was giving a birthday party for us, and we had a whole bunch of kids in the house, and she was making tea, and she started to pour the tea, and George said, "Oh, wow, look, silver tea." She'd forgotten to put the tea leaves in the teapot. It was just plain water that was coming out.
9 years ago, our conversation with Louise Harrison, who moved to Benton, Illinois with her husband back in the day.